This is the Day Zero update for April 2nd, 2017. I am Filippo DiNolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Dan Reb Victoria.
And this was April Fool's Week. And yeah, we're not going to talk about any of that because it's dumb.
We're above that.
Yes.
Just say it.
Yes, we kind of are. But, well, we do have one story that kind of relates to that, but yeah.
Yeah, but they justified it and made right by it.
Yeah, turns out it's an actual thing. So yeah, we'll be talking more about that in a bit. But before we get to that, I should probably let everybody know what we've been up to, which is for me a whole lot of waiting and old time hockey, because that's a good thing to do while you're waiting.
I think old time hockey is just going to be one of our standbys for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it's just so much fun, especially now that
they've
done a whole lot of patching to just make the game a whole lot smoother. And yeah, it's great. But yeah, I'm waiting for Ukulele's coming out this month. We got oh yeah, the Disney Afternoon Collection that everybody talked about. So yeah, that's coming. And Crash Insane Collection, which is also coming. I don't think that's this month, but still soon.
It's June.
That's in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday's just crazy. It's Remaster Day.
Yeah.
Persona Remastered. Not Persona, Parappa the Rapper Remastered.
I was going to say.
Lego Cindy Undercover. Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition.
Yeah.
Along with a game we'll talk about for PS Plus.
Mm.
And Persona 5.
Yeah.
It's all on PlayStation 4.
There's a lot of stuff coming out at once.
Oh, we know it'll dominate there.
Yeah.
Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah, probably sell a whole crap ton of stuff. So, yeah, so that's been me. How about you, Pat?
Oh, I finally got through the 3.55 Heavensward content.
Hmm.
This build-up to Stormblood is just immaculate. They're very willing to make bold choices with popular characters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say that. And those trailers we've been seeing up until now make a lot more sense now.
Mm.
And June needs to get here like right away.
Yeah, we still gotta get through April and May first. So
yeah. Other than that, Switch stuff, of course. Anytime you get a new system to wrap your head around, it's gonna get a good chunk of your gaming time, no matter what else is going on.
Yeah.
Old time hockey, of course. The review, unless another patch comes down, I think I'm gonna have a review done tonight.
Okay.
They keep making changes pertinent to things I'm actually talking about in the reviews, so it's been a kind of back and forth there, but I think I finally got the gist of it typed out, so that's good. And then fighting games again, it's just, this is the season where we start getting back into them and start paying extra close attention to tournaments and stuff.
Yeah.
We got the build up to Evo coming up here, of course. It's just probably the best time of year to be into fighting games. And with everything going on with King of Fighters that we'll be talking about later and with Street Fighter V, I'm definitely relapsing.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that June is pretty much going to be the month where, like, we lose all of our money?
Because, pretty much.
Yeah. That's, I think, Injustice 2.
Pretty sure that was March, but...
Yeah. Injustice 2, Tekken 7, Wipeout, Crash Insane. That's all June.
Then you'll find out what else you're going to spend money on the rest of the year.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, for the next year or two, the way we've been lately.
Yeah.
But
if we didn't even mention Trails the Third, which will be sooner than we think, probably.
Looking forward to that one, of course.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm just so happy that it's become so ubiquitous throughout the Smash Pad team that now, like, you go back about 5 years and it was just this thing that I was all about and trying to tell people how good it is. And now you look at what we're all anticipating.
It's like Trails. It's all there.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, you look at the fan groups, and they're worse than you are, so...
Yeah.
Well, that's because I'm also sane.
Yeah.
That, true that.
Alright, so my turn.
Yep.
Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yep.
Okay.
Period. I mean, Persona 5 doesn't come out till Tuesday, so...
Yeah.
This is pretty much... And I already finished Nier Automata, so...
Hmm. Did you go this for the crazy ending?
Automata? Automata? Right. Automata?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Are you going to go for the crazy ending in Nier Automata? Or,
I think you did.
That is the crazy ending.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, technically, there's five legitimate endings and then, like, 22 other crazy endings.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I think it's one for each letter of the alphabet.
Hmm.
Yep. A to Z.
A lot of those are like, oh, you died at this specific point.
Yeah.
So here's an ending.
Or you just go off somewhere and the game is like, so-and-so went off to go because they got obsessed with the machines and the world burns. The end.
Yeah.
And then they go through the credits like a million times fast.
Mm.
But
oh, Brandon, did you ever see the uncensored commercial for that got banned in Japan?
Mm-hmm.
No, but I'm going to. So yeah,
I saw Giant Bomb playing that the other day. They got to a specific point where all the robots they were hitting was going ow, 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 ow.
Yeah. It's like,
okay, I need to get this game, but I don't have any time or money.
Yeah.
But, so we need people to stop releasing games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so yeah, Mass Effect Andromeda, that's been my primary thing. I'm hoping to have my review probably in the can. Probably before this time next week. It is a lot of fun. It is very enjoyable, very well written. I love the characters. I'm starting to get that thing that I did with the first Mass Effect where I suddenly started getting really attached to them. Also, I love the fact that you're not playing a soldier. And this time, unlike, you know, Shepard, instead you're playing, you know, just a bunch of explorers.
Yeah.
Specifically, you're playing one of the Ryder twins. There's been a lot of talk, obviously, about the facial animations. First of all, because my Ryder twins are Asian, I would like to say that I don't notice it as much. But, some of the other characters, it definitely can be noticeable.
Yeah.
And it's not that they don't have good facial animations that could be there. It's just, and I mentioned this before the game came out. There was a person who was a developer on the Kotaku article who said this. The data is there, but for some reason, there looks like to be some sort of bug in the code so that it's not connecting well.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, when they do the facial expressions right, they're very good. But when they're not, they're usually in that sort of...
Uncanny Valley?
Not so much Uncanny Valley, but sort of like that basic, almost tired face.
Mm.
Mm.
Which, considering the work that you're doing in this game, having a little bit of tired face is kind of explainable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and, you know, it's really fun. You can see that they sort of are mimicking sort of aspects of the original Mass Effect. You know, you've got the Nexus, which is sort of basically like the home base of all the different arcs for the explorers out in the Andromeda system, and it basically takes the place of the Citadel. In the original Mass Effect trilogy.
Right.
Okay. But like a bunch of the other different groups, you know, had their own arc systems. So, you know, there's an Asari arc that came, that's coming. There was both a Krogan and a Salarian arcs that already were there when the human arc makes it.
Mm.
I've not found out if there was a Quarian arc yet, considering the fact that the Quarians at that point are already, you know, were nomads to begin with.
Yeah.
you know, the flotilla. So I'm not sure if they're there. And of course the Turian arc was there, probably the first one to get there. So there's plenty of Turians to run into. And there's some new species showing up, like the Angra, you can just look online, you'll find them. And then, of course, there's the Kett, who are this group of people have been saying that they're basically like the Collectors, but they're really not. Their head shapes may be similar, but their whole MO is completely different. The Collectors are like basically like the the Borg.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the Kett are like these hardcore religious fanatics. They're a lot more like the Covenant.
They're just assholes.
Yeah. But they're basically, yeah, they're religious fanatics, basically. Mm. So, Mass Effect Andromeda, it's a great game. Go out and get it. Don't believe the hate train. And that's what I've been doing. So what about you, Chris?
Well, Super Mario Run is out on Android, and I decided to try out at least the demo. And immediately it started ticking off of my pet peeves for mobile games. Things like you can't turn off the audio until you've tried every mode. It forces you through this stupid tutorial of trying every little thing before it lets you just turn off the audio, which that's a big no-no for me. I need to be able to turn off the audio so I can just play it, not have it blaring without having to like turn off my phone's audio, which I don't want to do. I shouldn't have to do that in any mobile game. The other thing is, what was it? Oh yeah, it asked me to download more stuff after I downloaded it, which I always hate, especially when I'm away from home, away from my Wi-Fi, and it's like, hey, we need to download. Like, nope, you're getting shut down. You should download everything right up front. It's not even a big game. It's like 200 megs. It's like you should download that right away instead of doing the tricky thing of saying, hey, we're much smaller than you actually think.
Yeah.
The other thing is just it's online only. So that means I have to turn on my data when I want to play it, whereas most of the other games I have on my phone do not require that, so I can just play it whenever.
Yep.
There's just not a ton to the game that really should require it. There's a weird like town building mode that doesn't really make any sense to me. It's okay. I'm probably not going to spend the $10. If I amass enough credit from the Android opinion rewards thing, I might use that to take off a good chunk of it. But yeah, it's okay. Definitely not as good as Fire Emblem Heroes, but probably better than I forget what the other game is, the social game.
Mitomo.
Yes.
Mitomo. Yeah.
It's better than that.
Hmm.
That's a nothing game. That's just like give us all your secrets.
Yeah, it's not really much of a game. So.
Yeah, it's just like a different social media thing. Also been playing more MLB 17. And just trying to figure out how I want to approach the review. Because with sports games, there's sort of the Consumer Reports style of reviewing where it's, well, I got to try everything, play each thing so I can comment on it, or I can do sort of what I'm actually interested in, which is play the things I'm actually interested in, just be able to report in more depth on that stuff. Which I think that's probably the route I'm going to go, which means I'm probably going to be focusing mostly on Road of the Show, because that's the best thing, and everything else is not really interesting me that much. Diamond Dynasty is kind of the Madden Ultimate Team kind of mode. You get cards, you build up your team. There's not the sort of limited use aspect to it, but they have a number of interesting modes kind of that you can do with it, but the missions they also have tied to that stuff is not great. There's ones like beat every team twice in the CPU versus CPU mode on at least the rookie difficulty. It's like, God, that's damn,
that's just busy work.
Yeah, that's 60 games, 69 inning games that won't progress anything, but give you like XP for the account profile stuff. Which is fine. I might do like one or two games every once in a while, but it's not really a compelling thing. I like the card stuff because I was a huge card collector as a kid, or at least I had a lot of cards. I got probably about 5,000 or 6,000 baseball cards that I would sometimes just go through and sort everything and fill up my little card books with that stuff. And this kind of taps into some of that. They even have like old players, and I know I recognize some of those card designs because those are some of the ones that I have. So that's kind of cool. It's all Topps cards.
Yeah.
But it's also weird that one of the things I like about this game is just JPEGs of cards. But yeah, Road to the Show is the highlight. The franchise mode is something I also want to check out. Mostly because they have some new ways of tackling those games, because 162 game seasons, a little bit much to try and play.
Yeah.
Either it's sort of how I would do it in High Heat, 2004, which was they had a super slimmed down version where it's just, here's your pitch. Okay, next pitch, just really fast paced, cuts out all the crap. They got stuff like that. Sort of like how Dan Ribeneau from Madden, where it's like, you can play this, it'll be about an hour for that way of playing the game, or you can do this sort of semi thing, and it'll take 15 minutes. That sort of thing where it offers you a variety of ways of playing that game out.
Yeah.
There's like a quick managerial thing, or just show me all the highlights to play. It's like, okay. I definitely want to check that out, just see what that stuff has to offer, but retro mode, not that interesting for me, though. The sound effects kind of get to me because it sounds like the baseball game I played, Super Baseball Simulator 1000 on the Super Nintendo.
Well, that's going back.
Because yeah. The noise when you hit the ball up in the air goes, it does that. I was like, what the fuck? That sound.
That game was nuts.
Yeah. And just the absurdity is just seeing these highly detailed character models just sliding around in the batter's box. But yeah, still going to keep playing that. And hopefully I can keep that as something I can play for the foreseeable future while I get drowned in all these other games that come out. Also been playing more Zelda. I just got to this island in the southeast part of the map where it tasks you with this cool side quest where essentially it strips you of all your stuff and says you need to go get these three orbs and take them to each of the spots on the island, which is an interesting challenge because I got one of them not too hard. Second one's tied to around the necklace of a Hinox, which is a giant troll dude.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took his picture, it said, "Hey, you can if you sneak up to him, you can take whatever's on his necklace." I picked up some weapons and picked the little orb right off his thing, which I immediately started getting my way off of him. And he woke up. Like, oh, fuck. Because you can't run while you're holding something because you'll drop it.
Yeah.
So now trying to keep an eye both on him and run away, which ends up with a Crash Bandicoot moment of you running at the screen. It's like, I hope I remember how this mountain goes so I can run up the path to the other spot that I have to drop it off of. And I managed to get out of his sight so I could run up mostly conflict-free. And there's chews on this island, which I ran into some that were electrified, which means when they die, they explode in a ball of lightning, which I've died to that. I've probably died about 7 or 8 times already. When you die, you have to start all over again.
God damn it.
There's no saves. No, nothing. This is like naked runs in Dark Souls. But yeah, so far I got two of them. I stopped before we started recording this. I also started recording it, though I pretty much start at the point where I'm trying to get this orb into one of the spots that's out in the middle of the water. So that involved me throwing the orb into the water and trying to use the ice to pick it up. Yeah, I've got like a couple bows now because they're treasure chests, and just killing some enemies, they drop all their stuff. I got like ores is like my super weapon now, which is definitely not the case in the rest of the game. But those are like level 14 compared to sticks and spears and shit like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's sort of a really cool side quest, and I'm hoping I don't die on this run. Because I got to get up to another side of a mountain where there are a bunch of bokoblins and moblins, and trying to not die.
Yeah.
But I've had that Hino, the Hinox, reset his health, which sucks. Like, I got out of his view long enough that it just kind of reset him. Which, it kind of sucks that, I'm guessing that's just due to the power of the Switch is not great enough to keep track of all this stuff once it gets out of a certain range. So yeah, I kind of wish the Switch was a little bit more powerful so that those sorts of details were intact, but otherwise there's not too much more to complain about with Zelda. And yeah, I got a
point. Is all this before or after the patch?
This is this morning, so it's after.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still getting some performance issues, but it's not as bad, though. At the point where I was just hanging out this, it's sort of just outside the big tech village. There's sort of a shrine near it. So I went over there. It's basically above a cliff, so it's just all water. So there's not really a ton that's going to tax it here. This island's still pretty small, all things considered. But, yeah, it's a really cool side quest. And I hope I don't die anymore. So yeah, how about you, Dane Rip?
I'm actually playing Persona 5 as we speak. Again,
I hate you. I hope you die.
As I said yesterday, I don't know what I'm allowed to talk about. I just got through a part where we have to name our little group. So. Since we're a bunch of thieves, I named us Ouroboros. So if you're familiar with the Trails series, you know what the fuck that is. So it was between that or Smash Pad, and I just chose to go with Ouroboros because why not? Yeah. It shows what we're all rooting for. Yeah. I'm about 12 hours in now, and I just beat the first big boss in the game. So looks like this is going to be a long doozy of a game here. Super stylish too, and I'm told.
Yeah, looking at the embargo stuff, through July 7th is the where they suggest the story stuff is. You should cut off. I assume you're not anywhere close to that yet.
No, it's still May. Cool. There's like 4 months to go. But yeah. Out of every JRPG game I've played, it's looking like this one definitely has the most mature themes. Aside from the constant swearing from a few of the characters, there's also some stuff that high school kids swearing. Yeah, it's just typical high school kids swearing. But there's some stuff that it touches upon, which is pretty cool. It goes over like sexual harassment, suicide. So yeah, it's pretty surprising to see like a game out of Japan just go at the throat right away. So pretty cool stuff.
Did you play Persona 3 or 4?
Persona 3 I didn't finish because some YouTube video spoiled the ending for me. Persona 4 I did.
Oh.
Yeah. And yeah, that's largely it there. I'll be working on the review for Walking Dead Episode 3 today, and I'll try to play some Has-Been Heroes while I'm watching WrestleMania later. Mm-hmm. So although I'll probably be like belligerently drunk and cheering for Shinsuke on NXT, but that's enough.
Yeah.
And, how's the Walking Dead been this season?
Have you played any of them this season at all?
No.
The change from Clementine to another character gives it a different dynamic, considering you're seeing a lot of maturity from Clementine this time around.
Okay.
But I do like the change, and since you're like really focused on protecting your family, it really gives you that kind of mindset. But it's also similar to the first season, where like the main character had some legal issues. In season 3, you don't really face those types of issues, but you are pretty much shunned by a member of your family, and that really makes things a little crazy. So with this one, it's interesting just going into, you know, with The Walking Dead, oftentimes when you go to a city, you come across their own community. So you do this too, and it really builds upon the series in ways that the show did. I don't really watch the show much anymore, so I can't really speak much about that. But this particular chapter really had more to do with the story being told rather than the action that was in it, which is fine because the action in Telltale Games really is much to talk about anyway. But yeah, this is probably going to be one of the harder episodes to review without spoiling anything. So, yeah, I'll probably spend more time on it than I would presume. So, yeah, but that's largely been it.
Okay.
Cool. So, yeah, we're in a new month, which also means new PS Plus and games with gold freebies. So, yeah. See what we got here.
For PlayStation Plus, it's Drawn to Death.
Yeah, we knew about that one already.
Which, it'll be interesting to see what that game is like with more than 7 people playing it.
Yeah.
And the other PS4 game is Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, which is a good co-op game.
Yeah. Which was also Games with Gold a couple months back.
Yep. So everybody will have it, pretty much.
Yeah.
PS3 is Invisimals: The Lost Kingdom, which I read up on this. It's sort of an action adventure game. So the original games were kind of Pokemon-esque.
Yeah.
This is like you're able to transform into like up to 16 of the Invisibles to do whatever is needed. So that sounds interesting. Alien Rage Extended Edition is the other PS3 game, which I remember that game. I went back and watched Giant Bomb's original quick look for it, and it looks like oh crap, we just talked about the game, the first person shooter with the combo stuff.
Yeah, Bulletstorm.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's like that without the combo stuff, and not good.
Okay.
I don't know if this Extended Edition actually makes it better, but that's kind of have. Duke Nukem-esque quips.
Yeah.
Probably better. So lots of weird stuff about it. As for the Vita, both of these are cross-buy with PS4. It's 10 Second Ninja, which I've heard good things about in a Super Meat Boy kind of way. Mm. So that seems like a good, tough platformer.
Yeah.
And Curses and Chaos, which I don't really know that much about. I think it's like a 8-bit-esque brawler.
Yeah.
So you can play co-op, 2 people, kind of Castlevania-ish in terms of using those kinds of enemies and settings. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, seems like an okay month.
Yeah.
Games of Gold, Xbox One, you can get it right now through the 15th, is Rise Son of Rome.
Hey,
it's the original version. And the interesting thing about that is that this
finally bringing to bear a long-running joke on the Day Zero update.
Yeah. And this specific version has been delisted for quite a while in favor of the Ultimate Edition, which has multiplayer DLC. So if you're like me and you didn't give a damn about the multiplayer, you're like, just put up the original, the base version, for like $5 instead of $10 for it with all the DLC.
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
So now I can get my revenge and not have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I assume is going to get delisted right back at the end of the month. And from April 16th to the May 15th, Walking Dead Season 2. Mm. So they gave out the first season, I think, a while ago, and here's Season 2.
Yep.
Now you just need Michonne, and then you can play Walking Dead Season 3.
Yeah.
For the Xbox 360 stuff, it's also backwards compatible on Xbox One. Darksiders is available on April 1st, which is a good game.
Yep.
On the 16th, it's Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Yep. Filling out the Assassin's Creed library.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've got most of them on the 360 at this point.
I know 2 has been on there.
Hmm.
I don't think Brotherhood has been.
I don't know. I've lost track.
I think 4 is on there.
4 has been, yeah.
And I think that's it. I think it's 2 and 4.
Yeah.
So get the last part of the trilogy, the Assassin's Creed 2 trilogy.
Yep. But not the middle.
See why people were tired of Assassin's Creed. Whatever this, when this came out, what, 6-7 years ago?
No, it hasn't even been that long. Jeez. That's the scary part about it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So. Yeah, when the hell did that come out?
I think it was 2012. Yeah.
No, because Assassin's Creed 2 was
2009?
I'm looking on their site, see if they list anything. 2011.
That was close.
6 years old.
Yeah. No, anyway.
There's been, what, 3, 4 Rogue and Syndicate and Unity. Yeah.
Unity and... No, that was... Unity was the last one, I think. Took a break.
Syndicate was the last one.
No, Syndicate was the last one, yeah.
Unity was the first one on this second one in this generation.
Yep.
And almost killed the franchise.
Yeah.
So that's our freebies for the month. Should also point out that the new Xbox One update, Creators Update as they're calling it, that adds Beam and the new guide has rolled out. So just, turn on your Xbox One and you'll get that.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah. The new guide is fast. Give it that.
I was surprised this is just now coming out because I looked at it and they announced this in January.
Yeah, for insiders.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they just rolled this out. And the actual Windows 10 update for PCs should be rolling out in the next couple of weeks. So
Now they need to fix the downloading stuff.
Yeah.
I was trying to pause. I had two things going, one actually downloading, one in the queue. I paused the thing that was downloading.
And the other one
the queue started.
I hate that.
That's how it's supposed to happen because it's queued up.
Yeah.
Not technically paused. I went and paused that. It restarted the other one.
Yep.
So I was in this Three Stooges thing. It's, I paused this one. The other one starts up. But it was paused. It means it's not supposed to do anything.
Yeah. It's really easy to address some of those really weird stupidities, but well, usually I do my downloads when I go to bed, so
or wake up. I think the other thing they added is more accessibility stuff. Yeah. They added the co-pilot mode, which lets you essentially have two controllers controlling the same player.
Yeah,
so you could essentially hand off the controller to a kid, and I'll let them play, and instead of just going, "Stop it, I'll take it, give me the controller," just put it down right now. I'll get you past this tough part.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good update. It hasn't broken my system, so I'm pleased with that.
Yeah.
During the course of the Insider preview, it broke my system a couple of times. But, yeah. Anyways. I know Dan Ripp still has a very touchy relationship with the Xbox, so this won't interest him in the slightest. So Telltale, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale game, is coming out the 18th of April. First episode, that is. I want to play this game, because it's going to be really good.
Yeah, I will probably play it on Xbox, because what else can I play?
Yeah, I was looking at the theme that they have for the PS4 version, if you pre-order it.
Yeah.
And it's the Walkman floating in space playing music.
That's fucking awesome.
Okay, buying it on PS4. Just for
that. Yeah, right, sorry, Xbox. PS Plus discount on it, too. It's just like 20% off.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think it's $16 for the full season.
Yeah.
16 or 18, I forget which one.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suspect.
Like, normally they're like $5 an episode, so you're looking at least like $9-$10 savings here.
Yeah.
Even though it'll probably all be $5 like come Christmas, but still.
Probably.
Yeah.
The Telltale games tend to go on sale quite often, so.
Yeah.
Yes. So. But yeah, cool stuff. And,
yeah, you guys are going to have the season pass discs starting on May 2nd.
Hmm.
So if you want the...
If you want it physically, you can...
Partially physically.
Yeah.
You get the first episode physically, and then the rest are all download.
Download, because...
That's the weird thing.
Yeah.
Which I heard the Hitman full season disc was apparently like that, despite the whole season being done. Should have been able to put on the disc easily.
So weird.
I think it was like Xbox that was having that problem.
Hmm.
That's a weird... thing. It's like it's all done.
Yeah. You know, Mafia 3 did the same thing. Even though on the retail version, you install it from the disc and then it immediately starts downloading more stuff. So, yeah, I really wish they'd stop doing that.
It's like Doom is now. You put the disc in and it says, hey, here's 25 gigs more of updates.
Yeah. God damn it. At least in Doom, you can actually play the first level while it's still downloading. So.
Yeah.
But, anyways. What else we got on the docket for today? Finally, we got the announcement for Destiny 2, which is coming out on multi-platform. September 8th, it looks like.
Xbox finally One, coming PS4, to PC.
PC. Yeah, because the first one did not.
Nope.
Yeah.
I think Sony still has the exclusive on DLC, DLC for a full year, so whatever bonuses they get, Xbox is not going to get them until... next fall.
Joy.
Yeah.
So that basically shoots down the idea of cross-platform play.
Yeah. And all I'm going to hope for is that they've actually got a quality single-player campaign this time.
I doubt it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think, too.
Yeah, not too much information. What's that?
I'm sorry, it's just... I got burned by the first Destiny really badly. Because the first Destiny, I mean, it was going to be the first new project from Bungie after Halo.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself was a big deal because...
they were free.
Yeah, and Bungie, I mean, you know, up to that point, they were probably one of the best makers of sci-fi games, period, at least in the Western world.
Hmm.
I mean, they gave us the Marathon trilogy, you know, and, you know, they gave us, you know, all the other stuff. And then when we found out that they got acquired by Activision, that should have been our first...
red flag, just...
that.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, no. People got mad about the trailer because there's humor in it.
Yeah.
It's like, and talking about loot, and it's like, that's a Nathan Fillion character. That's Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
He does the jokey character. It's one of the best in the original game.
Yeah.
September 8th. The only story stuff we have is that humanity's last safe city has fallen. And now the Guardians have to go out and take back the city, I guess.
Yeah.
And explore more worlds in the solar system. So we'll get out beyond Venus, Mars, the moon. To think what other planets were in there.
Look, all those just main ones. I know I said it before. All I'm going to say is there better either be a good single player campaign
or they better make the loot system better, because otherwise this game is going to freaking bomb.
Yeah. Well, the loot system had improved dramatically over yeah. the course of the game's life, so.
I mean, yeah, they still have probably like the second biggest following, or probably even still the first biggest following this generation, aside from Overwatch, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So yeah, yeah. Destiny 2.
Beta coming in the summer for people that pre-ordered, and everybody else will get it into it shortly after that. Gameplay premiere live stream on May 18th. And let's see. Yeah, it's out September 8th. And it'll be mostly a clean break. You know, taking your weapons or gear with you.
Yeah.
But I imagine they'll have lots of loyalty stuff for people that have been playing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's one thing we also should probably point out, that Destiny 2 is a completely different engine at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically been rebuilt from the ground up, because they were kind of... The original Destiny was kind of like a house of cards at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of had... It was time to redo it.
So. Yeah, who knows how that engine got into that state in the first place?
Yeah, you can never know. But anyways...
So over under, how long of a segment will this get at Sony's E3 press conference? 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to get 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it could open it up like it did the first time.
Yeah. Well, it won't be Peter Dinklage, at least.
Well, Nolan yeah. North.
Yeah, probably. So. Anyways, hitting some sad news. Mad Catz is shutting down. They've been financially kind of in dire straits for quite a while now.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it looks like that red ink is kind of caught up with them at this point.
Yeah.
Yep.
We all saw it coming after the whole Guitar Hero debacle.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Band, yeah.
I don't like the message that this sends to the rest of the industry, because this was basically... This was an accessory manufacturer that made the conscious decision that they didn't want to be mediocre anymore. And they had a lot of success for it, and then it just kind of went away.
Well, they made that one fatal mistake with overproducing the Rock Band guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that, and they also, you know, dipped their toe into the Android console market with an underpowered console that they sold for $300.
Yeah, I want to say, like, overpriced keyboards and mice and things like that.
Yeah, well, that part of their business actually didn't do too badly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just don't want to sound like an asshole saying they should have stuck with fighting games, but... I don't know that.
Well, like, I think they kind of should have. I think they should have focused on what was working well for them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, just skip out on the other stuff. But hey, we don't have business degrees, so whatever.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that other companies like Razer are ready to really step up and, you know, fill in the void for. Producing top quality sticks for the community, because Mad Catz was the market leader for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a feeling, like, once we start getting some of those, like, we'll probably see some of the fallout for this with the Tekken 7 launch.
I think Hori is the main manufacturer that Namco is getting involved with for Tekken. Yeah. Peripherals, but I think Mad Catz had something in the works for it.
Yeah. And there's also, you know, Injustice 2, so
yeah.
Somebody's got to do something for that. Yeah, it leaves the market wide open. If one of these other companies want to step in and take it, well, that'd be better. And I'm pretty sure that the talent behind that was the engineers and stuff that were working on those fight sticks will probably end up, you know, with one of those other companies.
Yeah, hopefully.
If Razer picks them up, that could probably bolster their fight stick quality, I would say.
Yeah, I think it has to be Razer and Hori that lead the charge now.
Yeah.
Hori make good products as well.
Yeah. But they're not a very big name over here, though. That's the thing about Hori.
They should be.
Yeah, I don't know that they advertise much over here.
No, they don't.
No, they certainly don't advertise much.
It's like, oh, here's the good screen protectors in Best Buy or Amazon.
I discovered them back in like 1994 because I just happened to get a fight pad of theirs for the Super NES.
Yeah.
And I've been a fan ever since.
Yeah. So yeah, sad to see them go, but you know, you can't live on credit forever, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Hopefully there are people out on their feet. I don't see why not.
Yeah, well, they got a lot of talented people there. I mean, I don't think they're going to have too much trouble finding jobs, even if their management was somewhat lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure Microsoft will absorb some of them since they make more controllers and games these days. But
yeah. Oh, first party Killer Instinct stick. That's an interesting.
Yeah. I am certainly personally in the market for an Xbox One stick, so that would be a good thing to see.
Yeah. So, yeah, in other news, the founder of Oculus, Palmer Luckey, has left Facebook this week. Probably didn't have anything to do with his, very interesting political views.
Mm.
I doubt that had anything to do with it. But, you'd kind of notice if you were following what was going on with Oculus that after he made those kind of statements and such, that you didn't really hear from him too much.
Yeah. Like
locked nope. in a closet or something over at the Facebook offices. Because, he wasn't on stage very often, if at all.
Yeah, he got silenced.
Yeah. So he's been, he's left now to, do his own thing and whatever he decides to do, because
whatever that happens to be.
it's kind of, I don't know. I wouldn't call it censorship, but it's a little disconcerting that if somebody just says something that somebody just doesn't particularly like, that they'll just get fired, even if they were doing a good job at what they were doing.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, that when he apologized for it, it wasn't an apology.
Yeah.
This is, I'm sorry that this is affecting the Facebook and Oculus teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was kind of a non-apology apology. But yeah,
he's got enough money, he doesn't have to do anything anymore.
Yep.
Yeah,
he can sit there and play Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So, he'll enjoy it.
Yeah, he'll do okay. Not really too worried about him. He's got he's made quite a bit of money already, and he's still got
a lot of stock that has to.
Yeah, like I said, he's got a lot of Oculus stock that still has to vest, so he's probably going to be okay. So moving on, we have more games coming out in June. June 6th, we have Wipeout Omega Collection for $40 on the PS4.
Yep.
There's $40 of my money.
Play this waiting for E3 to start.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm getting it. Pat will probably be buying this. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll get it.
Yeah, I'm all in.
Yeah, it's Wipeout. I mean, we don't.
The only way they could make it better is by having like an HD remaster of Wipeout XL.
Yeah.
That would be take all of my money.
Yeah. Well, pretty much all of the tracks are going to be in there, so.
Yeah, 28 tracks. Swedish House Mafia, Chemical Brothers, and The Prodigy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's sufficiently 90s.
I would imagine it has a lot of custom soundtrack support as well.
Yeah.
Since there are modes for that in these original games.
Yeah, but keep in mind this is a PS4 game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still have that stuff. MLB The Show lets you put in custom audio for crowd stuff and music intros and all that stuff.
Huh.
You just have to have it on an external drive or whatever.
That's pretty cool.
You can't store it on the hard drive, huh?
No.
Nope.
Which is annoying.
Odd.
Anyway, else we got? Final Fantasy 14 news. They've changed how they do their free trial. It used to be a 2-week trial. Now they've just gone full free-to-play up to level 35.
Yep.
So at this point, I have no more excuse.
Nope.
It's true.
And now we're waiting for the free days they have. Where it's like, for the course of these 30 days, you can play any four consecutive days.
Yeah, so now you can just jump
on. So how long would it take to reach that 35?
It depends. Well, it's unlimited level 35, so you can repeat it with every class if you want.
Yeah.
And I think you just stop earning XP after that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To get to 35 with one character, when A Realm Reborn first came out, I did that with Monk in about probably a week and a half. I had 50 within 3 weeks, I think. But I was out of control at that point. But yeah,
more money, more time.
Getting up to level 35 with multiple classes is a good taste of what each one is about.
Yeah.
You get it gives you a decent array of dungeons while still fitting the demo mold, I would say.
Yeah.
And you'd get a really good sample of the battle design too, and that's the real star of the show with Final Fantasy 14. The way the boss battles in that game play out, especially the ones in the dungeons that you're going to encounter from like 15 to 35, which is the there's good stuff in there.
Yeah. That should hopefully help Square get a few more players into the fold there, because. Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence that they're dropping the time limit right before Stormblood.
Stormblood?
Yeah.
Yeah, as if we needed more time sinks.
Yeah. So.
Hey, here's an MMO you can play for free.
Let me just tell you, as time sinks go, Final Fantasy 14 is a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
There's lots of good ones now with Zelda and MLB and Persona and this.
Yeah. And speaking of time sinks, Romancing Saga 3 coming to PS Vita and mobile. So.
Oh, man.
God damn it. Put on the Switch.
Yeah.
I don't know where my Vita is.
You don't know where your Vita is. That could be a problem. But, yeah.
Mine is directly behind me right now. Yeah. I know right where mine is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's nice that we actually got confirmation of a Vita version of this one, finally.
Yeah. this brings the entire Super NES trilogy in one form or another to North America.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because, obviously, we had the remake of the original Romancing Saga on PS2.
Yep.
And now we've got 2 and 3 on mobile, so that's good. That's good. What I like to see.
And they're calling it Romancing Saga.
Yeah. And we got other JRPG / whatever's news. Valkyrie Revelations release date for PS4 and Xbox One. It will be June 27th for $40.
Yep.
This looks very different than the other Valkyria game.
Well, yeah. It's actually a completely, it's like an alternate universe. So yeah,
I think it's like an action game.
Yep.
More action-wise, but the combat is still really strategy.
Is it still going to have Vice and Ica in it?
It's a, like a, it's an alternate universe. So
you're probably there.
Yeah, this one is more focused on a like Industrial Revolution type.
Yeah.
And they use Ragnite instead of the other one. Yeah. So, and this one is more based around like. From what I've been told, this particular game story is based more along like guerrilla warfare and stuff. So
that could lend itself to some interesting battles.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
One to keep.
And the launch edition comes with a pin and a soundtrack CD for free.
Yeah,
the Van Argend edition. Still weird. This one's coming out to Xbox One.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
That's like a last-gen thing of like, oh, we didn't release this in Japan because nobody gives a shit, so I'll make this for North America and Europe.
Yeah. Put it on Xbox One.
Everybody else just says, fuck Xbox.
Yep. But yeah, what else?
No comment.
Yeah. So Atlas Japan is doing a very interesting thing as far as Persona 5 goes. They're disabling all of the share functionality.
Yep. And not even a surprise for Atlas. Atlas and Sega at this point. The person that usually sees most of the embargo stuff, they typically come with warnings like, I'm looking at the Persona 5 one. This being a Japanese title with solely a single playthrough story means Japan is very wary about it. Sharing is currently blocked through the native PS4 UI. However, if you do plan on streaming video, guidelines above apply except length. If you decide to stream past 7/7, July 7th, all caps, I highly recommend not doing this. You have been warned. You do so at the risk of being issued a content ID claim or worse, a channel strike.
Ooh. Yeah.
They're not fucking around. See, that's why I don't want to talk that much about it. You know, I don't want to be blacklisted by any anybody that helps out with that Japanese stuff. So.
Yeah, KOF 14 story mode is still blocked for sharing, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, it just turns off the share function when you go into story mode. It's irritating. But,
yeah, sometimes it's hilarious the way that companies use this. I know EA uses this weird on PS4.
Yeah.
Madden, they usually block the loading screen. So I know when the loading's done, when I get the pop-up, oh, you can start recording now. It's like, okay, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But then they forget that everybody in the media has capture cards.
Yep, and that basically just renders it moot anyway.
Fuck the police.
Yep. So.
I think Giant Bomb said they were having ideas for doing maybe more extended video coverage and then decided against that when they saw that this stuff was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it a little time and then they can do one of their, you know, massive... stream things that they did for Persona 3.
Maybe.
Those were fun.
Yeah.
Persona 4.
There was another paragraph in the embargo email saying, if you're going to stream, make sure you're talking a lot. We don't want any just straight gameplay videos being still posted. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Yeah. So much for that.
Well, it would screw me over because I don't have enough people on my chat to talk to most of the time.
Yeah, you just have to just talk incessantly.
I do not have that capacity for diarrhea of the mouth that they're asking me for.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. And another saga in Japan not understanding the internet that well.
Yeah.
It's also like blocking on screenshots too. I mean, at the very beginning of the game when you have to name yourself, I was psyched as fuck because my entire first and last name fit in the spaces provided. So I was like, cool, screenshot that. Oh, I can't. Right. Take my phone out. There you go.
Yeah, I want to say the only parts that are technically things you can take screenshots of is the opening intro cinematic and the main menu.
By the way, if you're curious about the character's official name, Akira Kurusu.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would do that. Include tweets of like Phil Kohler over there tweeting actual phone pics of his screen.
Yeah. That's what you gotta do.
Yeah. They're gonna get pictures some way. Might as well make sure they're shitty looking.
Yeah. It's called lampshading.
Yeah. So in other news, we got the creator of Eternal Champions, Michael Latham, who's kind of feeling out interest to see if maybe people would want a spiritual sequel to that. And I say yes.
Yes, please.
Yes. I'm in favor of if anyone thinks they can bring back their old 90s fighting game properties and make it work well with a 21st century design philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see what it did for Mortal Kombat. I see what it did for Killer Instinct. Make it happen.
Mm.
Let's see what you can bring to the table.
Yeah. And let's have those just bonkers character designs that Eternal Champions had.
Soul Successor.
So if you can get like the graphics properties of like the Guilty Gear series, that sort of 3D-ish 2D thing they got, but still have all the insane amounts of gore and violence that the originals have. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I will give it all my money. The survey is pretty good. Yeah. 97% yes. 49 people loaded up the survey just to say no.
But
no, I am against this game that other people want.
Yeah.
It's about 1,500 people that said yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Did any of you guys ever play the Sega CD version of Eternal Champions?
I wouldn't be surprised if I have it kicking around here somewhere.
Yeah. If you haven't really put too much time into that one, I would. Because, quite frankly, it's way better than the Genesis version. It's actually it's actually a sequel.
Hmm.
Yeah, it really is. Everything's pretty much been redone. The fighting system's a lot smoother. There's, the AI is still as brutal as ever, but...
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the other thing a lot about Eternal Champions people forget. It was hard as balls.
And it was hard as balls because I don't know how they programmed this AI because it was... Well, it cheated. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, it did.
It was completely and utterly just cheated the crap.
It was reading your input data.
It was reading your input data, but the charge moves didn't apply to it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Also, for hard balls.
Well, they learned that one from Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. So,
for the record, though, it had the greatest series of finishing moves in any game ever.
It took effort.
Yeah, it made it work for them, especially the Sega CD version.
But if you managed to pull it off, you were in for a treat.
Yeah.
It grew
even on the old Genesis hardware.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're not talking like, it was sort of their way of like, how are we going to outdo Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, let's see. Mortal Kombat, they got a pit with spikes. How about we have you...
Somebody get run over with an airplane.
Or run over with an airplane, or tossed into the sea and eaten by a shark, or... I don't know. Why don't we have them fighting out front of a movie theater, and then the chick doing the Ticketmaster just for whatever reason goes completely balls out bananas and just
oh yeah
yeah oh, I love that
game. Fuck the game.
Yeah. So let's hope that's something that happens because I'd buy that for sure.
Let's have him be stepped on by Godzilla. Get hit by a clown car.
So, in other fighting news, now we're going to talk about the one bit of April Fool's news that turned out to not be April Fool's. Arika kind of floated a trailer of a very interesting-looking fighting game that they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got all these characters that they made for Street Fighter EX that they have been using for Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
They have an IP that is more or less the de facto home for those characters, called Fighting Lair. Mm-hmm. It looks like what we have here is a Fighting Lair 2, and it started with a 2-minute trailer that was in katakana labeled April Fool's 2017.
Yeah.
And then followed by a 2-hour stream of the actual game being highlighted by Kazunoko.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yep. It's,
it doesn't have a name. I'm calling it Fighting Lair 2 until proven otherwise. But it looks good. It looks like a thing that I would play. Mm.
The
three characters that we saw were from Street Fighter EX, Kairi, Garuda, and Hokuto.
Mm-hmm.
All with great modern redesigns.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all very much themselves, as you know them from back in the day.
Yep. Just smoother and higher resolution.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Looks good. And, we've kind of been proven that, 2D games can work using 3D polygons. That was something that a lot of people had problems with early on.
Yeah, Street Fighter EX being one of the case studies.
Yeah. I think
Street Fighter 4 changed everything.
Yeah, I think we've learned from all those past mistakes, and hopefully Eureka can pull it off.
What I was just saying during the whole Eternal Champions thing, anyone who wants to bring back their fighting genre IPs and do it with a 21st century understanding of game design, more than welcome to come to the table and see what they can bring.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. So, all good there. So finally we'll move to KOF 14 news. The last of the character reveals, which was Rock Howard, but that really shouldn't have surprised anybody at this point.
Considering how Oda just about lost it when the leak happened.
Yeah. So he's going to be the new character, well, the fourth and final DLC character, which will probably be $4 to $5. Well, $5 to $6, maybe.
$5 to $6, from what we understand. The only explicit pricing that we've heard from SNK was around the time the Whip trailer came out, and that said $5.99. There have been other third-party reports that have been reporting a $4.99 price for the characters, so we'll wait and see what happens. I mean, this is going to happen on Wednesday.
Yeah.
SNK does not have much time to before they're going to have to tell us what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But $5.99 is not a bad price either. It meets the benchmark set by Street Fighter V.
Mm-hmm.
All these are going to be really good competitive characters for the immediate future of King of Fighters 14. And another thing we should point out is that these characters are going to be coinciding with the release of 2.0, which includes full character rebalancing, two stages being added, which is KOF 97's Monaco Street Circuit and the Terry stage from Fatal Fury Special, which are both classics.
Yeah.
New OST music being added, presumably for the stages and the characters. Some quality of life, bug fixes, stability as you would expect. Pattern recording and replay functionality for training mode probably should have been there all along.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those standard things that you kind of expect.
Yeah.
This is the second complete overhaul that the game has gotten since it launched back in August.
Yeah. You know, 1.1 was big because of the graphical overhaul that it got. 2.0 is going to be another big balance change.
Well, there was the big balance change that was...
105 was a big balance change. They're taking this game seriously, it looks like.
Yeah, so. they're going out, they're sponsoring tournaments. They actually, I'm not sure if you saw this, but they made a replica of Antonov's belt for these events.
That's awesome.
Complete with the cigar holder. That's just cool. Honestly, this was the fighting game of 2016, and it's only getting better from here.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're still on the fence about the King of Fighters 14, there's a really good jumping on point coming up, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Right here on Wednesday. So,
buy that. Yes. Game. Good.
Buy the game. Play the hell out of it. Support it.
Yep.
Support what SNK is doing, because it's not something that should be taken for granted.
Yeah, we want them to succeed so they make more good games. That's what we want. Mm. Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be hearing what those games are in fairly short order.
Yeah. E3 is just 3 months away.
Because I don't imagine that KOF 14 is going to have many more secrets beyond this patch and these characters.
Probably not.
So...
Mm. Yeah, so we'll wait and see for that.
Yeah.
So another fun bit of news here. We all know NBA Jam, because it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Probably one of the most fun arcade games ever made.
Yeah. One of the most important, too.
Yeah.
And it came out like right around the time when basketball, you know, really became like
basketball.
Yeah.
People really started watching it.
It's not even that. I mean, this was one of the games where you can play and not even be a real fan of the sport. You know, uh-huh. You have your NBA Jams, your NFL Blitzes. Like, during this time, sports games were totally off games. The play.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that was unprecedented.
Yeah.
Like, I, 93, I didn't give a shit about basketball.
Yeah.
Completely honest. I did go to the arcade a lot because that was around the time I started playing Street Fighter competitively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I'd made a lot of friends just being around Street Fighter, being around the arcades. But NBA Jam comes along, and now here's a way that I can actually team up with these friends against other players. And that was something that was completely unprecedented because, I mean, I'd been – you know, you'd been meeting all these people around Street Fighter, around, you know – Samurai Showdown, Virtua mm-hmm. Fighter, whatever you happen to be playing around that time. But all you could really do was compete with them. Mm. And then NBA Jam comes along and introduces that co-op element. And still it's competitive because it's 2-on-2. It's not co-op in the sense of beat-em-ups where you're just, you know, doing side-scroller, teaming up with a friend against the AI. This was still competitive. And so it was a game that scratched the same itch that Street Fighter did and had that cooperative component to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was an arcade game, because it was a limited roster, it really – it was like a crash course in who was who in the NBA.
Yeah.
And then there's this Mike Uzzolino guy, but, you know, Midway was still learning too. but yeah, it's I don't think it's possible to understate the importance of NBA Jam. So
yeah.
Anything that we can get as that's the story we're coming up on, and I don't think I think we've just been foreshadowing it to this point. But any more that we can get on historically from this game is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mark Turmel, the basically the creator of NBA Jam, was, you know, kind of talking on Twitter. And he said, yeah, he might actually still have a build of NBA Jam, well, with Michael Jordan in it before they had to pull him.
Yeah, and that's big, and that's a big freaking deal, because getting Jordan in your game back in the day was not only... Yeah.
And putting him in NBA Jam was kind of a no-brainer when the game first went into development,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't realize that he'd trademarked his likeness, and they basically branded himself to the point where he couldn't be put in most video games.
Yeah, you'd basically, if you wanted to, you'd have to pay out the ass.
Yeah, so...
to make him yourself.
Midway caught wind of that, and by the time NBA Jam made it to... arcades, Jordan had been replaced with Horace Grant.
Yeah.
Probably for the betterment of the game's balance.
Mm. Yeah.
But not for the betterment of its star power.
Yeah.
Well, so. I mean, there were some of the other Bulls were in there, too.
Hmm.
Well, not it was Pippen and Grant for NBA Jam. Yeah. Like, I'm talking vanilla NBA Jam first.
Oh, right. Because it was tournament where...
Tournament edition where you could start doing substitutions and things like that.
Yeah, and the tournament edition also had, you know, Rodman and...
No.
So
yeah, if it turns out that he has, you know, this ROM set in his cabinet, yeah, looks like he might be dumping it and hopefully releasing it to the world.
I just love the way he said it, too. It's like, I'm not going to get in trouble for it now.
Yeah,
he just gives zero fucks at this point.
Yeah. It's like for 30 freaking years old at this point. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Besides, the people who are, you know, going to be able to play it are the people who have cabs or who are going to be playing it in MAME, so they're not really going to be losing anything. So
that's true.
Yeah. So yeah, let's hope that happens. I wouldn't mind, you know, playing that version.
Oh,
Right, I'm guessing that it would also have some other roster oddities like Mike Iuzzolino in it.
Yeah.
On other teams.
Yeah. So. Pretty nice. Mm. So remember Konami? They used to make video games.
Yeah.
It turns out they might
randomly
still be
turned up for the
games.
Switch launch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm guessing whoever it is that had a debt to the Yakuza finally paid it off.
Something happened because now they're looks like they're really, really going after talent. They're trying to get developers and stuff back into the fold.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I don't know if those bridges have been burned to the point where they can't be walked on anymore.
Well, are there any numbers as to how Bomberman turned out in sales?
I haven't seen any yet, but I haven't actually been looking for them either.
Well, at least
I'd imagine
because reasonably well because it deserves to.
Yeah, and I can't think of was the last Barman game released by Hudson, or was it also a Konami project by then?
I think it was released by Hudson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, if this was in any way successful, you know, this is as good an opportunity for Konami as it would be for Nintendo. I mean. Yeah. You look back at the NES Classic, and they were able to convince Konami to put, you know, this number of Castlevania games on the system. Mm-hmm. Then you have Barman here, and
they never stopped paying attention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, good thing, and you know, at least young Noriko won't have to work at Soapland anymore.
Yeah, so they're looking to hire for, for Suikoden and Castlevania, Contra, and some other stuff, so...
How much of a megaton would this be if these were tantamount to announcements?
Yeah.
If they're what?
They would be.
Well, they're specifically recruiting for Suikoden, Castlevania, Contra. Yeah. I would like to believe that means that there are tangible projects in the works. I know better than to think that. But
I mean, with the whole Netflix Castlevania series coming, they'd be foolish not to make one right now.
Or to capitalize on that, yeah. Yep. Well, possibly. And hopefully, you know, hopefully they get some takers who are just coming out of college and, you know, would love to be a part of the rejuvenation of these franchises.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need the people
Contra
who have
especially.
Been playing. Contra is a little... Yeah, it's in need of some attention at this point. That mobile game in China isn't going to cut it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Wow, though. Coming out with it like this is not half-hearted, though.
Nope.
I'm really looking forward to... You know, at some point or another, they're going to have to break the silence and say, okay, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And
at this point in time, you would think the announcement from the studios would be, oh yeah, we're going to sell all these off. Oh no, we're going to bring some studios back. So, that's great.
That's just
clearly the Pachi slot market is not what it once was when you can't set up shop around brothels.
Yeah.
And I'd always suspected that was going to come to bear on them because SNK got chased out of that market for the same reason.
Yeah.
And look how things turned out for them, though.
Yeah.
So if this is the same story being played over with Konami, who can look at that as a bad thing?
Yeah.
Yep.
You can certainly hope so. All
right. I would love an era where Konami... SNK and Sega can all thrive again. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, SNK is well
on their
way.
We're 2/3 of the way.
Yep. Oh, cool. And finally, our last story of the day is kind of a surprise, given the Nintendo's.
It isn't.
Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah. Nintendo's going to have a much greater presence at E3 this year.
Yeah.
That's the big story. But it shouldn't really be too surprising given the fact that they just launched a system.
Yep.
Yeah. And this is coming straight from Reggie, too.
Yeah.
Nintendo is stepping up their E3 presence. It almost, like, Kimishima has made a couple of appearances in an official effect for the company. Not enough to really get a feel for what he's about, but you do get the feeling that he believes that Nintendo is too big to be small.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that comes to bear in all of their practices, and they start stepping up their E3 presence, and they start stepping up their release schedule, and, you know, just constantly be moving with all of these IPs and getting getting the company as a whole active again.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they definitely seem to be, like, on the right track at this point. The Switch seems to be selling quite well.
It's got a healthy-looking release calendar already.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just need to hear more about what's coming up, plans for OS updates. Because the eShop has already have enough titles that stuff doesn't appear unless you search for it.
There you go.
Because that thing's just bare bones as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, definitely we know that they're going to have a...
Switch is the most PlayStation thing Nintendo has ever done.
Yeah, I would say that.
Possibly.
Like, I can move around the OS on this thing, and I feel like I'm using a Sony piece of hardware.
Yeah.
I find that more simple, to be honest. The menus are pretty straightforward. You don't have to worry about pressing left and right to go to another menu entirely. Yeah. It's all pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's all pretty straightforward. It moves pretty well, but you run into those rough edges very quickly that kind of show that it's, still a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like lack of notes for updates. Tell you why this thing just downloaded something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, Microsoft doesn't even have that.
So. I would say that kind of transparency is not the norm yet.
No. Yeah, we'll get there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to seeing what Nintendo has at E3 this year. Yeah.
As far as what that means, anyway. I mean, I'm looking at the preliminary show floor diagram here, and... Yeah, they have a pretty big space. Obviously, Sony dominates it, but Nintendo's space is about three times the size of what Microsoft's is, and Microsoft is supposed to be shunned off to Scorpio, so they apparently have some stuff to show off.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm personally hoping for another Nintendo World Championships, maybe use that as a platform to announce another Mario Maker or Smash 4 Deluxe, whatever it may be.
I just hope they've got more for the holidays than Mario Odyssey, because I'm not feeling that at all.
Yeah, the holidays can't really be a one game,
No.
They potentially got Mario, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, maybe.
Does anyone actually believe that's coming out in 2017?
That's what they've been saying.
I know they're saying it. Does anyone actually believe it?
I don't.
A 2-year turnaround from X, that would be insanely good. But that being said, I doubt it's happening.
Yeah.
We've got Fire Emblem Warriors.
Yeah. You know, that's a Musou game, thanks. So it's not really that huge.
I mean, going back to the Wii U evacuation plan, I would expect, I would more expect Nintendo to announce an HD version of Xenoblade and Xenoblade X, but 2 coming out 2017? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Oh, funny thing I noticed the other day, because I was at Walmart looking for a carrying case for my Switch. Nintendo's apparently still offering production slots for Wii games. Because, I shit you not, going down the aisle looking at whatever was available, there was a Wii version of Just Dance 2017, the very same one that was on the Switch launch.
Yeah.
For not the Wii U, but the Wii.
Yeah, that's Ubisoft.
Well,
yeah.
People have it, so.
Yeah, they want to get that as hard as they can.
Yeah.
So. That's just fucking funny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, we'll look forward to E3. At the very least, I'm hoping that they'll do, not just a Nintendo Direct, but an actual keynote.
Yeah.
At the event.
Just take special preventative measures to ensure that Reggie's body is not ready again.
Yes.
I don't know. Would you rather have Reggie's body be ready or whatever we had for that Switch presentation?
I think I would rather have Reggie's body being ready. Actually, what
are
I really
cyanide
want is...
pills available?
Yeah.
No, what I really want is the Reginator. Without Cammy Blackstone. Thanks. Let's not do that. Never again.
The other day, I was browsing YouTube, and I ended up running into their 2004 press conference where he made his first appearance. And man, is that suit oversized?
Oh yeah.
See, I did not have a very good first impression of Reggie, just because it was part of that whole build up to the Revolution that made Nintendo fanboys insufferable for a couple years.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I just
Nintendo going all in on. I'm here to kick ass. It's like, what?
Really?
Yeah.
It was actually the most flamboyant press conference I've ever seen out of them. So I was like, okay.
Is that the one with the DJ thing?
It was the DS year.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they were showing
it was the DS year.
The plankton stuff. Yeah, was that 2005?
Yeah. But yeah,
was it the year before the DS?
I don't even remember.
It all kind of runs together. But anyways, so yeah, I guess that's pretty much it for this week, guys. We've got quite a bit for 1 week of news, and we didn't talk about April Fools once.
No, we did not.
Yeah. So. All right. So as always,
although I do have something of a small announcement.
Who?
Apparently, I'm Batman.
Oh.
First try.
Okay. This is.
We were doing so well.
Yeah. So. Well, with that, I'm Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Batman.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Daniel Victoria.
We'll see you next week, I guess.
I am the darkness.